Hello, and welcome to another episode of Live Agelessly with Nurse Lori. I'm Nurse Lori, and thank you for joining me as we journey together to live agelessly. As always, I'm very excited that you chose to hang out with me today, so thank you very much for that. And for those of you that really want to help support the show, it would help me immensely if you rate, review, or subscribe on Apple Podcasts. How do you feel after a bad night of sleep? And how bad after a good night of sleep? I'm sure you've heard people talking, almost bragging, about how they don't need much sleep and how they can function, be alert and productive without sleep. There are so many people that have the mindset and think sleep is a luxury. And if someone sleeps too much, they're lazy and unproductive. Nothing could be further from the truth. And that's what we're going to discuss today. On the most basic level, proper sleep is mandatory to function as a productive, happy human. Without the necessary amount of proper sleep and quality sleep, we can experience all kinds of negative impacts on our health. We all need to have proper sleep. This is when the body restores and repairs. Have you ever thought about what actually happens to your body when you don't sleep well? The typical adult needs to get about 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night for optimal health. That's for the typical adult. We are all individuals with different needs, but the general rule is to keep it in that range and observe how you feel. Once you observe how you feel, you can then adjust your hours to what feels right for you. The 7 to 9 hours may not be attainable every single night, but we should make this our goal. And of course, sleep helps us feel rested and refreshed every day. But even more important is that while we're under this process, while we're sleeping, our brains and bodies don't just shut down. This is when our internal organs and life-sustaining processes are hard at work all throughout the night. So while we think we are just sleeping, our bodies are hard at work doing a very important job. While we may not often think about why we sleep, most of us acknowledge at some level that sleep makes us feel better. We're more alert, more energetic, happier, and better able to function following a good night of sleep. However, the fact that sleep makes us feel better and that going without sleep makes us feel worse only begins to explain why sleep is necessary. We now know that sleep plays a critical role in our immune function. A properly functioning immune system is important because we need our immune systems to be strong, to fight off viruses, infections, and bacteria that we come into contact with in our everyday lives. While we sleep, our bodies work hard to improve, repair, regenerate the function of our T cells. And our T cells are so important because these are the cells that your body makes to fight off infections. I've always thought of them like little Pac-Men in that video game from the 80s. Little Pac-Men that go around and throughout your body and eat up and destroy the cells that are infected by viruses and other pathogens. And have you ever noticed when you haven't been sleeping well and then you end up coming down with something, a cold or something worse? This is because your T cells were not working the way they're supposed to be working. And sleep is also necessary for maintaining a healthy weight. So why does sleep deprivation lead to weight gain? Well, while we sleep, our bodies produce two hormones, leptin and ghrelin. If we don't get proper sleep, the hormone production is disrupted, and the next day we feel an increased amount of hunger, and then we eat a lot more than we usually do. But we continue to eat, but we're still not feeling satiated because we need ghrelin to tell us that we're full. So when these hormones are disrupted, signals get mixed up and we end up overeating and ultimately gaining weight. There's a lot more to it than just this, including a rise in blood sugar, and that will lead to insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, but this is the condensed version of it. And another important thing that sleep is essential for is learning and memory formation. During the time while we're sleeping, the brain processes all of the experiences from our waking lives and stores them away. There have been studies involving memory tests that show that after a single night of sleep, good sleep, or even a nap, people perform better, whether it's on a test, at work, in the office, on the athletic field, playing music, whatever it is. People perform better. versus another study showed that participants who were sleep deprived were more likely to think they were right when they were actually wrong. So next time you're having a discussion with someone that insists they're right, just say to them, hey, how many hours of sleep did you get last night? That might right there tell who's right and who's not. And another thing, sleep has been linked to many chronic diseases. Diabetes is one of them, because while we sleep, our bodies are busy working to properly control our blood sugar, our blood glucose levels. And another is depression. The relationship between sleep and depression is complex. But while sleep disturbance has long been held to be an important symptom of depression, recent research has indicated that depressive symptoms may decrease once insufficient sleep has been treated or sufficient sleep has been restored. And yet another is heart disease. It's another issue that arises from sleep deprivation. The main reason the risk for cardiovascular disease rises is due to sleep apnea. Sleep apnea is when people are sleeping at night, usually snorers, and they wake up many, many, many times per night, gasping for breath. Their bodies are not getting sufficient oxygen. And sleep apnea sufferers are at an increased risk for a number of cardiovascular diseases, notably hypertension, which is high blood pressure, stroke, coronary heart disease, atherosclerosis, also known as hardening of the arteries, which then that in itself leads to high blood pressure, and then cardiac arrhythmias, which are irregular heartbeats. None of this is good. And these conditions have been found to be more common among those with sleep apnea than their peers without sleep apnea. And one way you'd be able to find out, or you'd be able to tell if you had sleep apnea, was ask your sleeping partner, do I wake up at night? Do I stop breathing at night? Am I ever gasping for breath? If that's the case, go get it checked out. You could do a sleep study. A sleep study will uncover all of these things that are going on. We talked about a lot of the negatives of sleep deprivation. Now let's talk about some positives of getting proper sleep. Well, one thing, we are going to get sick less often because our immune systems will be functioning properly and they'll be able to fight off any invaders that we may come into contact with. And it's going to be easier for us to stay at a healthy weight. And that's because of those hormones, leptin and ghrelin. They will be working with each other and they won't be distorted. And we will lower our risk for serious health problems like diabetes and heart disease. We'll reduce our stress, improve our moods, and we'll be able to think more clearly. This will have us doing better in school and at work. And not only will thinking be clearer, but our reflexes will be better. And did you know that studies have been done showing that driving while sleep deprived is just as dangerous as driving while intoxicated? And the last thing, there's many more benefits, but one more thing is we'll even get along with other people better because our minds will be clear and we'll be relaxed and we'll be focused. And there are many things we can do to increase our sleep, amount of sleep, and our quality of sleep. And a big one, we should avoid stimulants such as caffeine. It takes the body 5 to 7 hours to get rid of just half the caffeine we consume. That means if you drink one cup of coffee at 7 a.m., by noon, your body will still have half of that caffeine in your system. And at around 5 p.m., the caffeine should be out of your system. For most people, it could go a little less or a little more, depending on your metabolism. And the other thing we need to do is think about our electronics that we use, especially the ones that emit the blue light. That blue light interferes with our body's production of melatonin. The lights from TVs, cell phones, tablets, all of these can prevent us from falling asleep and staying asleep. There's kind of an easy hack for this. There are inexpensive eyeglasses. You can buy them at the supermarket. And they have a special filter that will reduce the amount of blue light that gets into our eyes. And this is going to help us a little bit to get rid of some of that blue light and help us sleep a little bit better. Here are a few things that we can do before bed. It's called sleep hygiene, and basically all it is a habit to get into to make your night of rest better. So the first thing we can do is we want to make our bedrooms dark and cool. Now, the suggested temperature to sleep in is 65 to 67 degrees. Might be a little bit too cool for some people, but maybe try starting out in that range. Keep a blanket nearby, so if you do get too cold, you can always pull it up over yourself sometime during the night. Another thing we can do is we can cover any of those electronics that emit those lights, those little tiny lights that are very annoying when you're trying to sleep at night. Those dots of lights that are on everything. They're on your cable box, your TV. Even if your alarm clock is not a red light, you can cover that up too. Red lights do not affect the brain the way every other color light does. So red lights are pretty safe. The other thing we want to do is minimize light and noise, actually. Light coming from outside, whether you live in a city and there's streetlights or just the moonlight shining in into your window, we could use room darkening blinds that work wonders to keep the light out. And we would like to also turn off our electronics about 1 hour before we go to bed, so we don't have that light coming in even with those glasses on. If you just take out a book, something that's not too exciting, not a mystery that'll keep you up, but just something that's easy to read, that could put you to sleep very quickly. And another trick is a warm shower or bath 1 to 2 hours before bed. This is going to help relax you. And the other thing it does is it heats up your core, and your core gets warm, and then it slowly starts to cool down. During this cooling down process, that's when our bodies will want to naturally go to sleep. And of course, we know to avoid large meals before bedtime, but if you are hungry before bed, a small snack could keep your blood sugar stable throughout the night. You won't wake up with those hunger pangs at 4 o'clock in the morning. Something simple like a piece of cheese and a few whole grain crackers would really do the trick. And then there are also relaxation therapies you can do. You can find many guided meditations to fall asleep to. There are thousands on YouTube, and there are apps for your phone that you can use. Just use the audio portion, though, and keep the electronic part, the light part, dark. And there's also something called progressive muscle relaxing. And as you lie in bed, just start at your toes and just relax your toes, and then relax your ankles and relax your calves. Just work your way up through your body very slowly, relaxing each body part. And most of the time, many people fall asleep before they even get through the whole body. And natural daylight, if it's possible where you live to get outside and get some natural daylight during the day, this will help the pineal gland produce melatonin. Once the sun goes down and the pineal gland has had that natural daylight, melatonin is going to start getting produced. And melatonin is what our bodies use to fall asleep. And the last thing is only use your bed for sleep and sex. Don't make it a place where you do the work that you brought home from the office, or a place where you eat meals or do anything else. Use it strictly for those two purposes. Here are some natural remedies or therapies that you could use to help you fall asleep if you need a little added boost to what we talked about above. And always remember, talk to your healthcare provider before starting any new kind of supplement. Even if it's over the counter, it's always a good idea to check. The first one is melatonin. Melatonin is a hormone. It helps control the body's sleep-wake cycle. And low levels of melatonin have been linked to insomnia, especially in the elderly. And if you supplement with a little bit of melatonin, it could help improve your sleep. Start slow. You could start anywhere from a half a milligram all the way up to probably safely 3 milligrams, but again, check with your healthcare provider. The next one is L-tryptophan, and everyone's heard about that because we all joke about it on Thanksgiving, like, oh, the turkey made me fall asleep because of all of the L-tryptophan in it. Well, that's not really that accurate. We go to sleep because we've stuffed ourselves, and our body needs all that energy to digest that food. But what L-tryptophan actually is, it's a precursor to melatonin and serotonin production. So supplementing with the L-tryptophan tryptophan may help increase melatonin production, which will help you fall asleep. And then there's magnesium. Magnesium helps regulate the body's circadian rhythm. And a study has shown, or many studies have shown, that supplementation with magnesium, zinc, and melatonin improves sleep, again, specifically in older people. Magnesium also is a fantastic relaxer. If you ever feel stressed or nervous, especially before a test or an interview or something that makes you nervous, take a little bit of magnesium and you will relax, but not too much, because too much acts sometimes like a laxative. So that might put you in a little bit of a different kind of situation. But again, less is more with a lot of things. And then there's zinc, and higher zinc levels in the body may be correlated with longer periods of sleep. So we may sleep longer. So if we're used to like sleeping maybe 6 hours, we could possibly sleep 7 hours if we have a little bit of a higher zinc level in our body. And the other thing zinc is used for a lot, especially in the colder months, is when someone has a cold. There are over-the-counter supplements all over the place. Take a little zinc and it lessens the duration of our cold. And then there is valerian. Valerian is an herb. It's a sedative herb. And this herb has been used really since ancient times to treat insomnia. And there have been studies comparing valerian supplementation to a commonly prescribed tranquilizer, and they found that they both worked comparably. And then we have ashwagandha. Ashwagandha is an herb shown in several animal models to reduce stress and anxiety. And so when we reduce our stress and anxiety, we're able to sleep a little better. And then we have lemon balm. Lemon balm has been shown to improve mood and feelings of calmness, and alone or in combination with valerian may also improve sleep and symptoms of insomnia. And then the last one is lavender. We all know how relaxing lavender is. Just breathing it, aromatherapy with lavender essential oil, improves or may improve our sleep quality, reduce feelings of drowsiness after waking. So even if we do all this aromatherapy with lavender, we are not going to feel drowsy the next day. One thing I like to do is get my essential oil, and it's best to buy a high quality essential oil, organic preferably. Put it in a little spritzer bottle with some purified water, spritz your sheets and your pillowcases, and then when you lay down for bed, this feeling of relaxation just envelopes you. It is so, so nice. So try some of these suggestions tonight before you go to bed and see how much better you're going to sleep. And that's all for today. Sweet dreams. So that's it for today. I would love to hear what you have to say about this episode and if it's added value to your life. If you like the show and want to help support it, the easiest thing you can do is share it on your social media and with your friends and family. And remember to live agelessly. Bye for now.